what does old school enthusiast mean to you? And, you know, with the direction BMW is going, do you think there's a future for hopeless cases like us?
I hope there is. I've got a good anecdote about there being. My suffering wife started off with her first car, and I hate to say this on record, but it was funny sunscreen, and I had just at the time she was looking, and I almost bit my tongue off when I heard what she was actually going to get. Can you imagine the pain and agony that an enthusiast would feel knowing a Pontiac Sunfire might be something you'd have to ride in? I apologize profusely to all Pontiac Sunfire owners out there. I feel your suffering, okay? I feel it. I know you may want to defend the car, but it's only because you're trying to get something else. I totally agree. That thing was a hateful appliance. And I couldn't wait for that to see the end of it. Unfortunately, it kept dying on her, and she spent a lot of money fixing it. And at one point, I just went, this is it. I got to get her out of this. And I got her an Elantra, which was an excellent buy. It did a very good job of doing exactly what it was supposed to do, which is just get her around to university and whatnot too at the time. So, and between the different jobs that she had. So why am I talking about this? Because she now is the proud owner of 88 3 thing that I was really, really lucked upon as I was searching for cars. And I thought, this is such an amazing car. Even if I fix this up a bit and get it from a 7 to a 10, yeah, I'd make pretty good money if I sold it. I might make $4,000 or $5,000 depending upon the market, because everybody goes nuts for tourings. But maybe I should see what she thinks. Maybe I'll offer it to her, because I've got three cool cars of my own. It wouldn't be fair for her not to have a chance at one. And I'll see what she says. And she actually said, yeah, I'd love it. Surprising, but her car before that was Jetta. So she was slowly starting to see what I actually appreciate in these cars. And so as far as the future goes, I think that it really depends upon how much exposure younger generations have to the old metal. If you look at the generations that are dying off right now, unfortunately, the older ones, you see a lot of cars that are high dollar, especially antique. The values are plummeting precipitously because there's just no one around to really appreciate them. No one really wants to run those. These, though, they don't have that level of sacrifice at all. I can still take my M5 to the drive-in, which we do quite often. It's a great drive-in car. I can shut the headlights off and drive with them off if I want to. There's spots to get a better spot if someone leaves. I mean, I can take it and get groceries. I can throw some tarps in it and mulch if I want to. It's usable. That's what's great about these. Old-school BMWs from this time period we're talking about had a lot of the amazing things that made them what they are. They had all the performance, especially when you look at the M cars, of course. But it also has some things that are really nice to have, like electronic fuel ignition. It also has ABS, whether or not you agree with it or not. I think it when it kicks in, it certainly seems to do its job quite well. They're also pretty safe in a crash as well. I don't know how well they do against a real modern tank like you see on the road quite often. But I see what's going on better than most people can, little gun slit windows that they have these days due to their styling. So I can often get out of the way if I need to. So do we have a future? I think so, but it really depends upon how much effort we put into it. We really have to support the young guys coming in. We really have to get our cars out there to shows and let people see them and appreciate them. Because if we don't do that, then they might actually lose a connection with it. They might not be held up the way they're held up right now, and it could fade. But if you look at the E30 crowd, it's crazy. They love these cars. The prices are starting to climb too, which is excluding a lot of young guys. But just look at the E30 crowd, and you'll see a huge cross-section of the automotive enthusiast community. And it really makes me hopeful that, especially with the E36s being at the bottom of their price value right now, and good ones starting to climb, especially the M3s, finally, I might add, that there'll be the same type of community for those as well.
I certainly hope so as well. And yeah, very interesting point of yours, how, you know, there's a responsibility from owners to, you know, get our cars out there and show the next generation, if you will. You know, you made a quick comment there about the escalating pricing, putting pristine older M cars out of the reach of many. I've had many a conversation online with the about the Enthusiast Auto Group, EAG, out of Cincinnati.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, tempers run high. For the benefit of my audience, it's a group of they would call themselves enthusiasts as well, obviously per the name, who scour the country, look to purchase pristine, older, lightly used M cars, and then do some servicing on them, but then sell them at a dramatically higher retail price. And I would be interested in your take on that, Paul, because I've heard a lot of anger in the forums. My take quickly is, you know, kudos to them if they can run a business. It's great for the seller of an M car because they're going to get a quick check, no muss, no fuss. It's great for a very wealthy person looking to buy an older M car. Who it's not good for is the enthusiast who knows exactly what he wants, knows how to do some work on the car himself, and would rather not pay a multi-$1,000 premium for a good example of the car. But that's me. I wanted to know what your take was.
Wouldn't you be enthusiastic about the kind of margins that they've got?
Yes, that's a different definition of enthusiast, isn't it?
Hey, that's the kind of enthusiasm that gets my interest up just as well as the other definition. So I like a little bit of both. I don't know about you, but there's a difference between putting food on the table and having it be craft dinner versus a really nice eddy or even more advanced classes, but I don't want to go there because some of your wine readers and listeners might not be happy with some of the selections that I picked. So back to the topic. I think that Enthusiast Auto is a very interesting force in the market because they are doing a lot of good by bringing up the prominence of M cars. I think they've single-handedly certainly influenced the pricing in the U.S. market, which has always been quite low, especially compared to globally. If you just hop on some of the automotive listing websites across the pond, you'd be shocked at what some of these cars are getting, although not as much now because it's kind of caught up. So they were definitely and still are ahead of the curve. Have a look at some of the prices that they have on 318 ISs and 325 ISs just to give an idea of how far up they are in pricing. I saw just a reference point, an E28 M5 for sale locally with 60,000 kilometers on it by the first owner for $18,000, and it sold in roughly. And had the capital to be able to, I certainly would have, and I'm not ashamed to admit, attempted to resell it on for what it's actually worth. But I did send the owner of the car a quick knowing, I don't have the means to buy this, but you should just certainly look up the pricing because I think you're a little bit off there. Enthusiast Auto Group would have that car listed at $50,000 US easily. And I'm not exaggerating a bit. Have a look at their current inventory if you don't believe me.
No, I know. And again, it's what bothers me is the lack of rationality about much of the argument online. It's a business. A business is meant to make money. I have talked to a couple of people who have purchased from them. They say the experience is a wonderful one. You know, they do know what they're talking about. They're now mentioned regularly in Mike Miller's columns, or actually he doesn't do the columns anymore about the used car buying guides, but they're constantly referenced in Bimmer magazine now and perhaps others that I don't read. My single point is, with the number of these cars in pristine condition getting fewer every year, it actually is possible for them to corner the market. And I would hate to see the private sale market disappear because it's better for the purchaser, yes. It's also better for the seller because he's going to get a better price, but at the expense of spending time. And I understand that to some people, it's not worth the time. But I would hate to see EAG totally get rid of the private car market for clean, low mileage BMW M cars. That's my exit statement, I guess.
Yeah, it's never good to centralize it, but there's an interesting facet to the whole thing, which is that as they put pressure on the pricing, it increases the value of cars that we know should have been worth more time. E9 coupes, for example, they were way undervalued. All these old M cars, they just had this, what some people were excusing as a stigma on account of high maintenance, but you and I know it's not really the case. It just didn't seem to be priced what they should have been. People are shocked that a nice E30 can command $10,000 now. Well, look at the car. Look at the car in terms of its contemporaries. It was the best of its era. Why shouldn't it command a premium? I agree that the cars aren't worth enough. But as far as their profit motive, that's for them. I think the influence on the market, I agree, that they do pounce on cars faster than anyone else can. They can probably have one or even two or more people whose sole job it is, 9 to 5, possibly more, sit on online and find these cars and snap them up as they appear. So what I would say as an enthusiast, if you're interested and you can get the capital together, now is the time to buy. Whatever old M car you're looking at isn't going to get cheaper. And I don't think it's a bubble. Honestly, it's going up. That's definitely the trend. And that's not a bad thing in terms of parts availability, but it will make things more expensive.
I think that's something we can totally agree on, Paul. And perhaps that's a good exit. I really appreciate you spending the time on the phone today. I'm sure we could keep going on. But let's stop it there, and perhaps we'll pick it up again in another interview in the near future.
Sounds good, Chris. Thanks again.
You're very welcome.